Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca. And, of course, on your home smart speaker, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got Jerry's percentages in about a half an hour, and Ray Ferrar will call in just a moment. Oh, you sent a pic out of yourself and the GOAT himself, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And people are buzzing about that. And let me clarify something before you get into the details of the picture. Did you both autograph that picture?
Yes, that is correct.
Why would that happen? And how did that happen?
My father had a contact with an agent and a friend of MJ's, and they were shipped out and returned signed.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a bunch of them. It was pretty cool. And I like how everyone was like buying into my story of like we had a chat and they had a three-peat after. It was like, like MJ, I'd go to this golf tournament and the times that he would show, it was like always this big surprise. It's like, is he going to be there? And like famous people like this, they have this way of going about business where they have to be really late. Like they got to be an hour and a half late. And it's like the dinner, like hour and a half later, all of a sudden there's one empty seat and people are like, wow, maybe MJ's sitting there, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, hour and a half in, MJ shows up. And we had to take this team picture for the golf tournament. And I was sitting on these steps and all of a sudden this guy sits beside me and I look. And I'm probably not allowed to say this on the radio, but I was like, God damn it, that's Michael Jordan sitting right beside me. So I grabbed somebody I knew. I yelled at somebody. I'm like, can you please take a picture? Like, because I was a huge fan. It was.
Sure.
And somebody was right in front of me and took a picture, and I made copies of it, and it's one of my little keepsakes. And I don't
know. Cool.
Not too often you take a pic with that guy.
No kidding. Yeah, I've never been in the same room as him. I mean,
I just thought it was a cool opportunity. And it was one of those situations where he was not like pissing around. And I had to grab somebody and say, hey, can you take a pic of us? And the person started fumbling the camera.
Oh.
You know that guy
that's just like
they can't get it done?
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. And he's literally like, hurry up and do this. And I'm like, if this person screws this up, then this never happened.
Yeah.
How many selfies or pictures do you think that guy has taken?
A zillion.
Like,
a zillion.
He'd have to be definitely in the Mount Rushmore.
Although in his playing days, it's like the phones didn't exactly have cameras.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
LeBron would be more.
Right.
LeBron goes, LeBron does multiple selfies. I guarantee you that. So because of the phones and how accessible, how everyone has one now and how popular selfies are, I would argue that LeBron has taken more pictures with people than Joel.
All right. Steph Curry might be right behind that.
I was going to say, you know what? Honestly, because of technology and because of what you just said, there's a chance like the worst player in the NBA has taken more pictures than Michael Jordan.
Correct. Probably because the access to them, like you're not having access to Jordan. You guys saw how many people were around him. He would walk out of the building. He'd go right to the bus. He'd go right to his car. He'd go right to his home. Like everything around Michael Jordan was planned. He's not walking down the mall. He's not walking down
but
the street.
Also, like who's walking around with a camera hanging around their neck? You know what I mean? Like back in the 80s and 90s, even if he was walking around, chances are you weren't going to get a picture because you didn't have access to a camera. Now, everyone does. Every person on Earth, basically, every person in North America has a camera within reach. Even if it's not theirs, they're with someone that has one. Or
for sure.
Someone, even you'd stop someone on the street and say, hey, can you take this picture? Here's my number. Can you text that to me, please?
Yes.
Like, you can always find a camera. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if, like, Chris Boucher has been asked to take more pictures than Michael Jordan because of just the timing of when his career took place.
For sure.
Like now that Jordan's older and a billionaire, now you really can't get to him. Like now it's like you're.
I don't think MJ Bryan, like you saw him, I think he liked to set up shop in his hotel, although he did have his fun that everybody knows about, but he wasn't going out a whole lot. Like he wasn't.
Well,
okay. He liked to set up shop in the card game in his room and room service, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you're right, though. But, like, if there was camera phones back in the day, the night before the game, he's in Atlantic City till 2:30 in the morning, we would have known about it. It would have been trending on Twitter. There would have been pictures of him, him walking in, walking out. Even if he's at a private table in a hotel in Atlantic City, him getting into that table, somebody snapped a photo. Now it's just hearsay. Well, yeah, and then him saying, yeah, I was home, you know, I was out till 1 o'clock with a buddy. You have no idea. That one is four. That's. But you could have photographic evidence. It wasn't that long ago. Who was it? And the Raptors were in the playoffs. Somebody was in a casino in, like, Cleveland or something at, like, 2:30 in the morning, wasn't it? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was against Cleveland.
That was a story. It was against Cleveland. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
During the conference final.
It was DeMar or somebody, wasn't it?
No, it was Corey Joseph, I think, was one of them.
Cy reported that.
Yeah, it was Simmons that reported it. And Simmons was in the casino himself and saw him. I don't even know if they were playing anything in the casino. I think they were walking through the casino.
Yeah.
Was the report, because their hotel was connected to the casino, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning or 2:30, night before the game. And. Yeah, he reported that.
But that's what I mean. The information process nowadays, everything, that's why these guys are a lot different and they conduct themselves differently, because Austin Matthews could be sitting at a restaurant with a beer on his table. If somebody wants to snap a photo, it can be turned into a million different, I guess, context is not explained in a photo.
Right. Well, it, not that it should matter anyway.
I hope
players don't. Who cares? Go ahead. I have a beer. What does it matter?
I agree.
But I'm not even talking about that change, like, clearly. It's just simply being asked to take a picture. Like, how you guys played in the 80s and 90s. Like, how many people really asked you for a pic? Like, they'd ask you for an autograph.
Yeah.
But who needs an autograph anymore when you can get a picture with someone?
I bet Ray had no time for the autograph seekers. I didn't either. I could not stand them.
All right. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. Go ahead, Ray. Answer that.
I don't approve of that comment, though, because it's way too accurate.
Sean Hill had the best line. Every road trip, he'd be like, guys, I don't sign on my birthday. Today's my birthday, sorry. Like, every time he got off the bus, he's like, guys, it's my birthday. I don't sign on my birthday.
I was with the Rangers. We were we ate a pregame meal, and it was on the second floor or third floor or whatever at the hotel. And this guy comes out of kind of nowhere and asks Mark Messier for his autograph. And Messier goes, when I'm on the road, the hotel is my home. I don't sign autographs in my home. The guy just turned and walked away. But, like, I don't know. Like, it used to rattle me when you're like, I just want to walk from here to there. I want to sit down and eat. And, like, that stuff bugged me.
I couldn't figure out. It's like 3 in the morning. You pull into Philadelphia, and it's like a bunch of guys are there with 8x10s. I'm like, you really need this right now?
Yeah. It got bad there for a while, guys, but I kind of went the other way. I wasn't a guy who was asked a lot, so I would sign for everyone. But I remember talking to Aginla. I was getting off the bus with him, and there were just these – we called them seekers, right? Is that what you guys called them?
Yep.
So the seekers were yelling, Jerome, Jerome. And I was like, why are you doing that? And he's like, honestly, this guy's probably standing there for 4 hours waiting for me, and he's like, for the $20 he's going to make, he's making $5 an hour to have me sign it. And he goes, if I flood the market with him or something like that, he's like, it's not even going to be worth his time. So,
well,
Noodle? He went it the other way, you know?
As the spot in life I am now, like, that's the right way to do it. Like, seriously, it takes you 10 seconds to sign the picture, but at the time, I just wanted to get in the hotel, and I'm like, damn, this is a pain in the ass. Now, of course, when you play on a good team, there's way more people than when you play on a bad team. But to be honest, we could have driven in there at happy hour, and nobody's going to stop.
Yeah.
They asked for Heatley and Kovalchuk, and then everybody else just rolls on through. But when you're the Rangers, it's Richter and Leach and Messier and Kovalev, and, you know, it was endless for those guys.
Well, what I didn't understand was, like, after a bad game, I just wanted to go home. I would drive home, or me and a teammate of mine, we'd go and have a burger and a beer, and that was it. And, like, I don't want to sign, like, you know the rink in Raleigh where there's that drive-out area? It's like there'd be the hundreds of fans, and it's, like, the same ones every game. I'm like, look, how many things do you need signed? And I would just drive by and be like, no, not today. Bad loss. I just want to go home. And then people think you're a jerk. It's like, well, I'm not doing it.
Which is fair. Oh, like on, if it's the same
just like the golf course, Hayes, like just pick it up. Let's
move
on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We got to tell Ray that story. But like, I just, if it was the same group, and I'll point out something, and Ray, you can back this up 1,000,000%. That walk from the Marriott Long Island to the rink. And there's these guys who take a 2x4 piece of wood and stick two of your hockey cards on it and go, I made you a plaque. Can I get a stick for this? And you're like, no, that's not a plaque. That's a
plaque. But when you're a rookie, Noodles, you're like, oh, yeah, this is really cool, man. You can have a stick for sure. I'll give you two of them. Then 5 years later, you're like, get away from me, you loser, with your piece of wood.
Well, and that walk, Noodles, not to jump on your story, was – I don't know where they came from.
Yes.
Right? Like, there's no people in the walk from the back of the Marriott to the, you know, to the Coliseum. There were no people. It's a wind-blown parking lot. There's just cars parked randomly around. You'd get six steps out, and, like, all you'd hear is door slamming. Boom, 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 boom. And there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. They walk you to the rink. They walk you to the rink.
Well, would you guys prefer to sign 100 pictures or take 100 selfies?
Neither.
What would you prefer?
Neither.
You had to pick one.
I don't know what it's like. I can't speak for everybody, but I get really uncomfortable about selfies because I'm just like, really, why do you need this? Like, who are you showing it to? Like, I don't know. Guys, I like people and I like kind of shooting the breeze or whatever, but I just don't like the selfies. I don't like the autographs. I get weird. Like, I get weirded out. I don't like it.
They're gone now for the most part.
I would much rather sign because I feel like selfies is, you know, sometimes it can get a little personal.
Yeah. I don't really get uncomfortable a lot, but when I have to do the pictures and people want to, I just get, it's the one time in my life I get weirded out.
Well, here's another thing that's likely going to change when this all gets back to where we're not playing hockey in a bubble or all that. But, like, are guys going to stand there for a selfie? I'm not.
No.
Like, no, I mean,
it's non-negotiable. Like, no way.
Yeah, everyone's telling us social distancing, and now I'm going to stand shoulder to shoulder with somebody that I don't know. I just can't do it.
Right. I don't think there's going to be handshakes anymore. Like, I think the actual act of a handshake is gone.
You know what, you guys? When you bring up awkward selfies, do you guys remember that couple, the older couple in Edmonton with McDavid?
The best, though. Aren't you so happy that happened, though? Like,
I think it's the greatest photo ever taken. The look on his face is like, because it may have been, I'm sure he was very friendly. He's a very nice guy. But I guarantee you somebody, like, it was a phone malfunction or something where he's standing there going, let's go here. Let's move this along. And those, like, that is one of the greatest selfies of all time. When I think of selfies, I think of that picture.
It's
alone.
So good. It's so good.
Okay, well, I remember this too. Remember about the cards, just jumping back, I just had a thought. Remember when somebody asked you to sign a card? Okay, so great, you sign the card. But they got about five of them, and four of them are the same card. And you're like, wait a minute here. Like, that. I don't want to sign four of the same card. That's bogus. You're selling the other ones. And maybe I should have looked at it like Jerome did and said, yeah, to hell with it. Just sign them anyway. When we first started, there was only like a couple of companies that made cards. It's not like when it got to the peak, there was like 10 companies making cards. You could get out there and have 30 cards. So for a year and a half, Paul McDermott, one of our players in Hartford, awesome guy, he never had a card for some reason. They never took any pictures of him. And so we would always go out and say to the Seekers, hey, has anybody got a McDermott? And they'd be like, no, we don't have any of his. Then one day some guy goes, yeah, I got one. And he was already on the bus and guys were yelling, Dermy, they got one of your cards. I think he paid for the card to get it from the guy.
Awesome. Yeah,
I played with a goalie who had a classic move, and I don't want any comments out of Jamie and Noodles, but the goalie would be sitting in the lounge, and the trainer would come in and say, here's your hockey card mail, and hand, you know, those big kind of orange envelopes or yellow envelopes.
Yeah.
Guy would just throw them right in the garbage. But no, that's not terrible. Doing it.
I know. Like some people, guys, I don't love that. Like I
that's
think
a tough move.
It's so bad. I don't know. I get it. Like some people, listen, everyone has their own opinion and they have their right. Like it's his right to do that. I didn't personally love that. What Ray's talking about is there's a difference between a fan getting something signed or a selfie and the difference in a collector who is like, here, I've got 10 8x10s to sign so I'm going to turn around and make some money off of them. And that's where I would get a little bit frustrated because I would actually watch them use kids as props. And these kids would get paid, you know, $1 a picture, $5 a picture to go up and go, Mr. Messier, can you sign this for me? And he would say, can I make it out to you? Oh, no, don't make it out. Just sign it. Well, then you knew it was going back to the collector. So it was kind of like a little bit of a backhanded, greasy move. That's they'd use. I hated them using kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that bothered me about that. Outside everything else, honestly, it's 5 minutes of your life that you could get through. Mm. Oh, I understand with you. I'm the same way. You have a tough loss or I got pulled that game or whatever. Like I the last thing I want to do is have an interaction with somebody when I'm frustrated or have, in my own head.
Home.
Like that happens, but that's a one-off. That's here or there. I think for the most part, when we think about it, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I think 99 out of 100 people did sign or at least give a little bit of time to people.
I had a situation in Carolina where this lady, Mona, she was sending me notes and messages where it was getting a little out of hand, and she was always at practice.
Yeah.
And the note would be, oh, great job today at practice. I know we're just
– <Don't, laughs> Sorry, great job at practice.
Yeah, but then it would be, I'd love to have a hot tub, blah, blah, blah. And I pulled her aside, and I go – I said,
I'd love to have a hot tub.
What a left turn. Great dump and chase in practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot tub? Yes or no?
This took more than a left-hand turn, and I know you know what I'm talking about. It would be like, great, job last night, a couple assists. I'd love to have a hot tub, and we'll get into it and whatever. And I had to pull her aside, and I go, Mona.
Yeah.
You got to stop with these letters. They're not appropriate. And then she would go a couple weeks and she would send a note and it would say, okay, I get it. Like, we're just like, I'm a fan, you're a player. But it would be great to have a hot tub. And I finally said, look, this garbage has got to stop. Yeah. And then one day she ran out to my truck. I used to park right in front of the practice rink. And she ran out with this cake. I'm like, I have no idea what this lady put in this cake. I fired my truck into drive, and I launched the cake out onto the parking lot road. And I never heard from Mona again.
Well, yeah. That's
poor
tough.
Mona. Poor
that's
Mona.
That's tough, though. That's
and she,
tough.
She could
life.
Not keep it together. Like, she was like,
Can you believe you were such a catch-o?
I know. She was like, oh, great, great assist. Love to oil up and this and that. And I'm just like, come on.
Now,
Mona,
I don't know what Mona looked like, but just when you said, let's oil up, I pictured you all oiled up. Oh, and I just. I had a little bit come up into my mouth here, but
a little bit with like a luchador mask.
Ray, it's funny you say that because in Atlanta, I was just I would always go down to the lobby and have a coffee and just people watch or blah, blah, blah. In Atlanta, I have a coffee. There she is, Mona, wheeling up the escalator.
Come on.
Yeah. No and I'm way. Like, all right, what the hell's going on? I got to call NHL security. She wants to start oiling up in Atlanta, and I'm not doing it. No.
Yeah, I think we've all, I don't know. I've had a few NHL security interactions where I've had to bring them, into the fold just to make sure. It's unfortunate because out of the thousands of interactions that we've had, there's one or two that kind of cross the line or give you a little bit of a scare where you're like, all right, I gotta have somebody take a peek at this,
And Noodles and Oh, like, we're talking about us guys. Like, can you imagine, like, the we just saw the Bulls thing, like
oh,
Jordan,
my God. Jordan.
Like, there was one thing there, one episode, Jordan sitting in his room having a cigar, and he's like, yeah, I just come in here and turn on the TV and order room service. And I'm like, man, that must suck. The guy, I mean, obviously the guy can't go anywhere, right?
Well, how about
he
the,
had a
the
few
first
moments hanging around though.
The one of the first scenes is when they're flying to Paris to start the 97-98, and he's getting mic'd up to do a show, and the guy who's putting the mic on stops and goes, "Hey, could you sign this for me?" And like the handler or the producer of the show is like, "Hey, not now, man." Like we had to beg him to come down. And the guy didn't even understand. Like, he's like, well, why not? He's right here. It's like, well, because he's going on the show. He doesn't even speak French. Like, he's in Paris. We had to beg him to come. And he would get that everywhere.
Signed. Yeah.
I mean the Pizza Hut guy who poisoned him in the end was his biggest fan. And alleges that
Carol
he had
Baskin.
To get to his room.
It could have been Carol Baskin.
It could have been. It could have been. Yeah, you're right about Jordan. I mean.
Ask Ray if it was appropriate what I said on the golf course.
All right, so we started talking about different groups that are difficult to join, like if you're not a part of them, right?
Right.
It can be very difficult. And I mentioned that if you're kind of a new golfer and you're the fourth guy into a group of three guys who are really quality players, that's intimidating. It's tough. And I mentioned that always a guy that would fall in that category, like really good player, moves fast, first tee time, in and out in like 2.5 if he can be. Anyway, we started talking about that and his interactions on the golf course. And we were in a golf tournament last year, which was a great tournament with great people. We had a lot of fun. But there was someone in the group that clearly didn't play golf.
Multiple.
There were, but there was one, just didn't golf. Like you could tell. Was not a golfer, didn't golf, wasn't overly comfortable. A number of times on the tee box, missed the ball completely. And We're playing scramble. So, like, O's already launched the ball at 320. We're playing that tee shot, right? And this person is whiffing repeatedly. And
like five swings, Ray, no contact.
So it's awkward, but I'm not saying anything. No one else in the group is going to say anything. And O blurts out, "Hey, just pick it up and take this one off and, like, knock the rust off and we're good." Like, basically, stop wasting our time here.
No,
pick up the
it
ball.
Was like a timeout I mentioned. I was like, just take a breath and, like, maybe think about things in a timeout and regroup for the next shot. I don't know what else you're supposed to say.
But I don't think that's bad. That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, and Hayes is making me out like I'm a jerk, but he was 35 under at the No Balls Open.
I was.
Because you were sitting watching it saying, "Oh, my God, this is a joke."
I admitted that. I give you credit. I envy you for that ability to have no filter and no understanding of how much more awkwardness is added to the situation by telling someone at a golf tournament, "Just go and pick that up."
Yeah, just
like,
pick it up.
Good.
We're good.
Just fire that in your pocket, and you're brutal, and we'll continue to move on here.
So we were playing a scramble, playing a scramble at one event. And you had to use three drives from everybody. Two drives.
By the way, everyone cheats at that. No one ever does that.
Of course. So anyway, now our group, one of the guys can't hit it out of his shadow, right? And so we use one of his drives on a par five because we're like, it was a short par five. He nubbed it about 50 yards up the fairway. We're like, we can make something out of this. We get to our last hole. It's a par three. And he's only used one drive. We couldn't even take another one. They were so bad. Yeah. And we know, the word gets around that we're kind of in the money. And this is one of those tournaments where everybody's betting on their own team. Like there was some pretty decent coin available. So we're on the tee. Nobody else's tee shot can count. We got to use this guy.
Ray,
jeez.
What happened?
You ever want to see a man crap his pants? It's Rick that's had 12 Molson Canadians, and he's a 30 handicap, and you say, "We have to use your drive, Rick."
Oh, yeah.
So what
it's
happened?
170-yard hole-ish, something like that. And so he's at the tee, and he doesn't know which club to use. Like he's.
Oh, no.
And so we said, well, I said, "Which club can you hit in the air?" and he said, "Probably my wedge." I could just use that. Just hit it that way.
Well,
he hit it about, I don't know, he bumped it up in the air and it went about 40 yards, 35 yards. And we're like, "Awesome drive." And we were just so happy he didn't hit it backwards.
Right. It was alive. Wow. Did he get up and down from there?
No, we made bogey. I don't want to tell you, but we lost by one.
No.
And this poor guy felt terrible. And we're like, nah, you know what, we could have made a putt on 10, and we're all thinking, if you could have just hit the damn ball out of your shadow, we would have had a chance.
Right. Yeah, but if you're on the fringe, if you're within distance of the green, you're going up and down with three other guys who can play.
Not even that hole, Hayes. The previous 5 hours, anywhere.
Right.
Just hit it.
Right.
A tee, just like hit it. And it just wasn't. It was a tough day for the poor man.
Yeah, that's
good
crushing.
Guy, and it's who called him. He was Rick. He had about 12.
Yeah.
So he had, by the end of the night, he was okay. He had recovered.
He forgot about it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, you just got to get those shots out of the way early. I've been that guy. I've been the 30 handicap, but I know, like, when the pressure's on, I at least could get it, you know, 100 yards up straight, or I could figure it out. Like, I know that because I've done it, you know, whatever, 10 times in these shuffles. But I like to get it out of the way early, so I don't.
That's the move. Get it out of the way earlier.
Get it out of the way.
I have no problem
with
the guy that says, you know what, I'm just going to get in the cart. You're not using my shot. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but if it's for a competition, that's my point. I don't golf the full 130 strokes.
I know. What I'll do is two guys get up on the tee, Jamie, and hit it 320 down the middle, and there's two of them to choose from.
No, I don't even hit.
Rick hit 12 beers. Steve. 289 does not need to say, oh, I'm going to pound this one down. No.
I won't even hit, but I just try to get my shots out of the way early so there's no pressure on anybody. And I'm actually decent on the green, so I've got decent reads.
Yeah.
It's the only thing.
But most places don't care if you can putt. It's basically you just got to get off the tee.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like Ola said, you don't have to follow the rules so much.
No. Nobody does.
Just get in the cart. Get in the cart. That's
get
it.
Get in the cart and move on. Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm doing right now.
All right, buddy.
Nice.
Go enjoy it. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
You bet, your boy. See ya.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, the website mapletoyota.com. CJ Spiller in about 45 minutes. Darren Dreger, hockey insider, into the next hour. Jerry's Percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. Jerry has been in a mood the past couple of weeks, and he's got an opening statement this week and then a bunch of hot takes.
You
guys ready?
Jerry, yes.
So I hear that little dumpling, Brian Hayes, is all hot and bothered over an innocent golf chirp this morning. Well, that chirp was child's play if you ask Jerry, because I'd be your worst nightmare on the course. Every chunk, shank, or chili dip comes with a ruthless chirp. And God forbid Jerry sees you four-jerk a green. I'll have you in a fetal position. Jerry never four-jerks. Ever.
No, he's a three-putt machine, but never a four-jerk on any green. Ever.
No. Four-jerk.
Ever.
Jerry will not four-jerk it. No.
No, he will not. All right. So, yeah, Jerry's heard about me being chirped, and apparently he's ruthless on the course. That's fine. And whenever you're ready, Jerry, I'll meet you anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
You guys ready for the hot takes?
Let's go. Ready to rock.
Sticking with the golf theme, Jerry's jacked for Tiger versus Phil 2.0, because it's going to be a rousing success and Peyton and Tom will actually contribute. Back 9, back 8, back 19, who knows where they'll go with that one. What a chop question by Hayes.
You know, back 19 on Sunday, or back 8, back 9 on Sunday, what's that going to feel like without fans? Jerry.
The back 8 just gets me every time.
Jerry adding the production level, too. That was unnecessary.
Yeah,
Jerry and Mullen working together. Mm-hmm. All right, so Jerry's calling it, man. He said this weekend it's going to be a resounding reception. What did he say? Rouse? What word did he use there? Mullen, I'm reaching for it. Doesn't matter.
A rousing success.
Yeah. Rousing success.
I'm going to go 95% Hayes. I think people just are dying to watch something. Everybody's in their house. There's no live sports, and I give these guys credit for getting ahead of it and saying, look, we can do something here. Let's get on TV somehow. And we saw it last weekend, 90%.
I'm high on this, too, because they moved the needle, like these people. Like yeah, it's star
especially
power.
The one guy.
It's star power. That's what moves the needle. And, you know, I'm gonna tune in and be watching intently. And you're right. It's the big boys, but it's also the big names. So for me, I'm tuning in. So I'm gonna be 97%. I think it's a success regardless what happens.
Yeah, I'm certainly in the majority here. I'll go a little bit lower because people are looking for something to complain about with sports.
Right, that's
you know,
true.
Like we noticed that last weekend. You got four world class golfers out there playing. But they didn't chirp enough, and their games weren't sharp enough. And, hey, where was this guy? It's like, come on. Like,
right.
You're going to find the contrarian. You're going to find people that hate on everything, and they haven't been able to hate on sports in 2 months, so they're going to get their licks in this weekend. But my initial thought was I don't like the setup, the idea of them playing best ball or alternate shot off the tee, because you've got Tiger and Phil – whoever
yeah,
wants
like
to
how
see.
Many? It's just like the girl that I asked to just pick it up. It's like, what are you really going to do?
We're wasting time with Brady and Peyton. But the more I think about it, like those two are the stars of
right.
North
Name
American
power.
Sports. Like Tiger is in their category, and Phil is huge too. But like Tom Brady, as big as Tiger is, and everyone knows Tiger, golf is like 5%. Of the popularity of the NFL. Like, it's
hey,
not even
have
close.
You seen the recent numbers on NFL jersey sales?
Yeah. Crazy, eh? How about Tua?
Nine of the top 10 are in the state of Florida.
How about Tua
at
beating
one.
Brady? Like,
yeah.
he had number one and two. He had the home whites and the road teal.
Yeah.
And he's ahead of Brady and ahead yeah. of Gronk. I couldn't
it's
believe
basically
that.
Basically Tua and then Brady and Gronk are the other, like,
it's
nine
impressive,
of 10.
Though.
Right.
It's impressive. You're right. The NFL moves the needle, and it's 95% more popular than golf, which is crazy to say, but it is.
It is.
And
having those two will be big.
I think Brady and Manning are going to – they're going to surprise people. Like, I think they're better – not better athletes. They are amazing athletes. They're not going to chop it around and shoot 120.
Brady can play. Like, Brady's a legitimate, decent player. He's got a nice swing. He can play. I don't know about Manning, but I would assume Peyton knows how to play. But what they're going to bring is an entertainment value that will
right.
be, I think, was sorely lacking the last time when it was just the two of them. I think Manning and Brady are going to be chirping. They're going to be talking more. It allows them to talk NFL, which I think
yeah.
will be big because
yeah.
golf fans will be like, all right, let's see Tiger hit this shot, and then Peyton's going to ask Brady about leaving for Tampa. Like that, you
yeah.
get kind of
and
everything put together.
I think Manning's
together.
The guy that can bring the smack talk
big
because
time.
He's out of the game. And he
big
does,
time.
He's like, you know what? I'm out, and I can just throw shade on these guys.
Well,
and
he might – you're right, oh, sorry to interrupt. He might even start giving it to Brady and be like, you knew you were leaving 6 months ago. Why did you go through
yeah.
this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's candid talk. And if they're just BSing while they're walking up the course and we're getting a taste of that, I would love it.
Yep.
I think it would be
I'm
fantastic.
All yep, I'm all in. I'm going to say 85% because
yeah.
you're going to have some haters and people that nitpick, and maybe the golf
yeah.
won't be so great. But having those guys involved,
yeah.
I think it's going to work.
Agreed.
At some point in his career, Alphonso Davies will be one of the most popular athletes in Canada. His bar play in Europe is quickly elevating. He will never, ever touch Derek Jeter, though.
Well, I mean, soccer players, dude, don't sell them short around the world. And
dude, I've heard conversations, and so has Jamie, not to exclude you, Hayes. Derek Jeter, people know that the work he did no one.
Yeah, no, I'm,
never be
I'm as familiar as you two are. Believe me, I've studied it.
Yes.
I'm aware. And listen, bringing Jeter into the mix is unfair.
Yeah.
But Alphonso Davies is 19 years old. He is. We had Stephen Caldwell on last week, and Stephen said he thinks he's projecting, like he is moving towards the best left back in football, in soccer around the world.
That's a big title.
That's
it
a
is.
Huge title. And soccer is popular here. It's not as big as hockey. It's not as big as football, even basketball or baseball necessarily. But it's big, and it's getting bigger, and we've never had an international star. We've never had a Canadian that made Europe pay attention. And I think he's going to get there, and I think when he does, he's going to be massive over here, as long as he wants to be big here. And what I mean by that is he's got to keep his ties here. He's got to have some endorsement deals here. He's got to be setting up some camps here, like, so people are familiar with what he's doing.
He's got to embrace it here. He's got to bring it back and still make himself visible back here.
Right. Like, but if he does that, I'm going to say 100%. I will say 100% because I think he's going to, like, he's projecting, he's moving towards being the greatest soccer player we've ever had. And he's already at a big club in Bayern. I wouldn't be shocked in a few years if he's at Barcelona or Manchester United. And then, boom, his profile completely blows up.
Yeah, I'll go 85%. Canada loves they love talking about, like, if a Canadian's in a final at a tennis match or a soccer team, it's like they got the whole country behind them. So it's like it's their guy and they love it. And KJ and Caldwell will be talking about him all the time. 85%.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm high on this. I just think I don't know the guy's personality, and that's where I think it's going to factor in. He's going to be an amazing athlete. He's going to be a superstar, but you have to have a certain type of personality to embrace that if you're going to be global. That's the one thing. So I'm going to say 90%.
Yeah, he's a kid, too. I don't know how comfortable he is with that, but his play would suggest he's going to elevate to a level we've never seen before. Which will get a lot of coverage.
Big Ben Roethlisberger will be a top 10 quarterback this season.
I know for a fact Big Ben likes a Bailey's and coffee at Pebble Beach. He loves them.
Jerry with some intel on Big Ben. Top 10 is asking a lot for a guy who basically missed the whole year last year, is not young,
and has contemplated retirement, and who knows what his like the last couple of years, he's like, I don't even know if I want to play next year.
Yeah,
like he said that a couple of years in a row, hasn't he?
Yeah, he especially, although he changed his tune after they drafted Mason Rudolph.
It's funny how that happens.
Yeah, prior to that, he gave it to you. Oh, now we'll see what happens. Now he wants to play, but I mean, top 10 is he's clearly got the talent and the capability. Yeah. He's been a top 10 guy his whole career.
I'm high on this. I think. There's something about Big Ben just from watching that video, and I don't think the video tells a whole lot, but I think he's kind of fed up with people saying he's a fat pig, and I think he's got maybe a couple years left in him where he's like, you know what? Sometimes when a guy gets older, they realize that the end of the road is actually happening, and they want to kind of perform. I think he's going to be that guy, so I'm 100% on Big Ben being a top 10 guy.
100%. Wow.
Yeah, 100.
The injury worries me. And the age and all of that. I'm going to go a little bit lower. I agree with you. Oh, I think he feels like he's got something to prove. And
yeah, and you know, Jamie, being a backup goaltender, if you had a couple good starts, you got somebody's attention. It's like, I think he watched Rudolph last year, and he's like, I don't know. I don't want to see a whole lot of this anymore. Yeah, like, I want to get back to being the guy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm 82%.
I'm going to say 25% for a couple of reasons. Yeah, for a couple of reasons. One, he's got to stay healthy to be a top 10 guy.
That's the one thing.
That's been an issue. Big issue. Health has been an issue. You also got to remember, this is a young man's league right now. You've got Mahomes, who's better. Jackson's better. Yeah. You've got guys in his own age bracket who I don't think he'll be. I think Rodgers will be better. Russell Wilson will be better. I think Brady likely will be better than him because of the consistency and the fact that he's been healthy. So I'm not saying that Roethlisberger is going to be terrible. I think he's got to be a top 10 guy if they're going to win that division, like competing with Baltimore and how loaded they are. Cleveland is going to get better. Cincinnati's better. But I think he's somewhere in the middle of the pack, even if he's healthy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But coming off a full season away, he's getting up there in age. He might be in better shape, but he's never in great shape. I'm going to say 25%.
There will not be a professional sports all-star game for at least the next 3 seasons. Too bad, because Jerry puts in work during the break. He and Bill Daly get up to stuff that you have no idea about.
Poor Bill Daly.
I know. It's
like he always gets roped into Jerry's plans. And anyway, no all-star games in pro sports for at least 3 seasons.
Why is I don't know if they're going to play other sports.
I'm high on this. Because if we're talking about the NBA and the NHL, both of them going to have to catch up, especially the National Hockey League, going to have to catch up to their schedule.
Yeah, I'll go 85%. Like, just the pain in the ass for everybody, people in buildings, like getting all the stars together. I'll go 85%, 3 years.
Yeah, I'll say 68%.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go a little bit lower just because it is a cash grab. I mean, you do have to remember that. I don't think they're going to happen in the next year or two. But in 3 years, might leagues come back and say, well, we could have the Pro Bowl. It's sponsored by Pepsi. They're willing to pay us whatever. We'll do it.
Yeah, that's true.
That seems likely to me. So I'll say 20%. I do think this. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if this just blew them out altogether. There's so many people that hate on the All-Star games and the fact that it takes up a portion of the season and the players don't want to be a part of it. But, you know, right now it doesn't make any sense why you would congregate for an event that is just meaningless for
right.
the most part. But in 3 years, there's money available.
Yeah,
I think
they'll
these
want some normalcy.
They might stick their hand out and say, I'll take it. Yeah. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. C.J. Spiller, former Buffalo Bill, into the 6 p.m. hour. Darren Dreger will join us around 5:25. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, C.J. Spiller will join us in about 15. Darren Dreger into the next hour. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. So we talked a little bit about this yesterday. FC Seoul, which is a soccer team in South Korea. South Korea's got baseball going. They got soccer going.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, I mean, they're opened up and they're testing and they're tracing. But for the most part, society is somewhat normal or as close to normal as you can get in 2020. But they're playing soccer without fans. And
right.
there was a big scandal over the weekend because FC Seoul decided to use sex dolls instead of your standard mannequin.
By
the
way, who did that? Like, you know the old saying, you had one job. Like, who ordered a sex doll?
The team is claiming that the company is the one that screwed them over here, because they're claiming they ordered regular mannequins and the company
sent somebody
over.
Had to pull them out of the package and realize that there was things on the doll that wasn't normal. So shame on you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, someone's got to answer for that. Like, there's no denying it, because, like, the penalties, apparently, like, it's obviously a big story over there and people are not happy. Although it's like, really, is it that big of a deal? I don't know. I guess so.
I don't. They're dressed. Like, I'm looking at it. Like, they, okay.
I don't even know how you would know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for somebody to say those are sex dolls, then they have to be in the know, because what I'm looking at is, you know, obviously blow-ups with clothes on.
Right.
What does it matter?
Wearing a mask and holding a sign.
Mask.
Like, you, how would you know unless you have a PhD in sex dolls? Like, some guy picked these off and said, oh, I know what's going on here.
Exactly.
And basically ratted them out, like called into a hotline and made
he said, that's my girlfriend, Mona.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
That's Mona. You know, that's the Mona.
Yeah.
That's that one.
And
know?
I'm mad at her, and I told her she couldn't go to the game. It's like, it's a sex doll, dude. Figure it out. But I guess they've, you know, been apologizing to the fans. They're claiming ignorance that they thought they had the right doll or whatever. I don't know. But they might get fined. They might lose points in the standings.
I know, but can't they say, Hayes, like, they can come over the top with the King Daddy Topper and say, look, unless you take the clothes off the doll, you would never know. So
right.
You just say you can't prove it. Like,
they're not, like, you know, some of those dolls, like they're not bent over in the stands. Like, they're just standing there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
Like, I obviously, now that you've said it and you're looking at the picture, you're like, oh, that makes, you know what I mean? I get, you know, like, you see, all I'm saying is that when you're looking at those dolls and somebody says, yeah, they're sex dolls. Well, yeah, obviously now you can tell, but
yeah.
You can't tell any other way.
I would never know. I'll be fully
honestly,
honest.
I
would have no idea. Like, I'm looking at a picture right now. I guess these are technically the dolls in question, and they're fully clothed with masks
right.
on, with holding signs. How would you ever know that?
Yeah, like if the mask covers up their mouth, I don't know what I'm not doing this.
Yeah, we're really straddling
exactly.
a line here, but like, it, you know, we're all adults at the same time. These things do exist, and this happened. This is a real story.
Right.
And we have journalistic integrity on the show. We cover the serious stuff, you know, and that's what we have an obligation to do that. But in all seriousness, looking at a picture, I have no idea how someone would pick that off. But someone did, and someone
right.
clearly made the complaint. And obviously the league decided to adhere to the complaint and look into it, and they found out this actually happened. But I don't know. Like, if you feel, I'm not joking here. If, let's say, the Leafs are playing at Scotiabank Arena, and you filled up the building with these dolls, I would have no idea, no idea, yeah. And I'd be like, and honestly, I think I'm on board with mannequins with some noise. I didn't like the viewership of watching the Bundesliga over the weekend with nothing, with no sound, with no one in the stands.
So would you be fine with mannequins, dolls?
We would
whatever,
all be fine, Jimmy, yes. Because we don't know who the hell they are, but there's some creepazoid. If you brought in sex doll, dolls, he'd be like, that's Mona, that's Sherry, and that's whoever. And he's familiar with them. And what I mean.
Someone's familiar, and someone called it in. Biggest snitch of all time. Like, really, we're snitching in the era of COVID? Just be like, imagine that. Thank God the game's back. I'm so happy. Oh, sex doll, I got to call that in and make sure someone.
If I was the organization, I would rat out the guy that called in and say, this guy works at so-and-so and he loves sex dolls.
There's always some do-gooder that wants to be
it's
a
hero. It's like, you want to rat me out, I'll rat you out. You're a creepazoid and you sleep with sex dolls, and I know you do.
Right. Yeah, it's it seems pretty clear. Anyone that ratted that out, they know what's up.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
CJ Spiller, Darren Dreger in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.